नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद्भागवतम चैप्टर 5 कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 16। इति समा सकला वेदा। So we just read the translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Sukhdev Goswami continued, Lord Rishabhdev is the master of all Vedic knowledge, human beings, demigods, cows and brahmanas. I have already explained His pure transcendental activities, which will vanquish the sinful activities of all living entities. This narrations of Lord Rishabhdev's pastimes is the reservoir of all auspicious things. Whoever attentively hears or speaks of them, following in the footsteps of the acharyas, will certainly attain unalloyed devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The teachings of Lord Rishabhdev are for the people of all yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and especially Kali Yuga. These instructions are so powerful that even in this age of Kali, one can attain perfection simply by explaining the instructions, following in the footsteps of the acharyas or listening to the instructions with great attention. If one does so, one can attain the platform of pure devotional service to Lord Vasudev. The pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees are recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam so that those who recite these pastimes and listen to them will become purified. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. As a matter of principle, devotees should read, speak and hear Srimad Bhagavatam persistently 24 hours daily if possible. That is recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtanya Sada Hari. One should either chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or read Srimad Bhagavatam and thereby try to understand the characteristics and the instructions of the Supreme Lord who appeared as Lord Rishabhdev, Lord Kapila and Lord Krishna. In this way, one can become fully aware of the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one who knows the transcendental nature of Lord's birth and activities attains liberation from material bondage and returns to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, today we are continuing our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading from Canto 5, Chapter 6, text number 16. The chapter, the activities of Lord Rishabhdev. So this verse is basically a verse of encouragement. As we all know that as students of anything, a student takes time to learn his studies, whatever he's studying. Either it is as simple as something learning, like learning to drive a car or studying a particular subject, or all of us are students of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the author here, or in the case of different studies that we do, has to constantly encourage the student in between so that his enthusiasm is continued to learn the subject matter and in due course master it. So here also Sukhdev Goswami Maharaj, after explaining all the beautiful verses about the teachings of Rishabhdev to his 100 sons, he is giving us a very solid words of encouragement. He is saying that I have already explained his pure transcendental teachings, which will vanquish sinful activities of all living entities. That this narrations of Lord Rishabhdev's pastimes is a reservoir of all auspiciousness. Whoever attentively hears or speaks of them, following the footsteps of the acharyas, will certainly attain unalloyed devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is a solid encouragement that we are getting, right? We need to constantly know what is the benefits we are getting by reading these scriptures. And here, Sukhdev Goswami is assuring us that one who hears or speaks about the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, what is the result? That he attains unalloyed devotional service at lotus feet of the Lord. He attains pure loving devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. So as we all know that being part of the Kali Yuga, we all have different propensities. The creation that the Lord has created has different propensities. The people are in different modes. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and mode of goodness. And the Lord, being the ultimate creator of everything, has to cater to the needs of the creation, so that people who are in the mode of passion can slowly rise from passion to goodness and pure goodness. So similarly, we all know that there are different scriptures which are in the different modes, catering to the different needs of the human beings. The human beings, as you all know, have so many desires, and the different scriptures which promote and help each individual from whatever desires that they have to come little higher. But the ultimate aim of all the scriptures, of the Puranas, and all the scriptures that have been written, are to bring a person slowly and steadily to the level of pure devotion. So all the scriptures, they give the required fruits that the seeker is seeking. Like, for example, a person who is wanting to learn about how to fight. You know, we all know Hitler. Now, Hitler got all his understanding of how to really fight from the scriptures, from the Puranas. And we all know that his sign was a swastik, which was just rotated by a few degrees. So a person like him, who is not desiring anything but how to conquer territories, he also finds the required knowledge in the scriptures. So it is said that kama sarva kama moksha kama udarate. That if people are with all desires, or they have desire for attaining moksha, liberation, they all can ultimately find all that they require through the scriptures. Ultimately, when they come to Krishna, all the desires are fulfilled. Moksha, if they are requiring in liberation, they can also come to Krishna. But what is this really moksha that Krishna gives us? People can also approach Lord Shiva for moksha. Lord Shiva is known as Muktinath, right? Who can give liberation? Who can award you liberation? But what sort of liberation can Lord Shiva give? He doesn't get liberation from the cycle of birth and death, and we don't achieve pure devotional service. But only Krishna, who is known as Mukunda, the giver of ultimate liberation, can really give us liberation from the cycle of birth and death. So there will be a very, very small portion of the population who are seeking pure devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. There are very few, a small portion. So Lord has to cater to their needs also. And that's how Lord Krishna himself, who is known as Mukunda, incarnates in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a beautiful sloka that when Lord Krishna ascended to the spiritual world, simultaneously the Srimad Bhagavatam descended. And all the glory of Krishna is present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the opulences of Krishna is present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam can award us liberation, can award us freedom from a cycle of birth and death, and we can go back home, back to Godhead. So here also it is explained that when somebody gives hears about the passings of Rishabhdev, which are the reservoir of all auspiciousness. Now, Krishna is all auspicious. What is the sloka? We chant Pundrikaksha. What is that? Om apavitra pavitra va sarvavastam katupiva yas mare pundrikaksha sa abhaya abhyantra suchi. That whether something is impure from within or without, but one remembers the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, is purified from within and without. Now, Krishna is the all-purifying agent. He is the person who creates all auspiciousness. And how is the auspiciousness created in the material world in the age of Kali Yuga? It is through the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said that Srimad Bhagavatam, right in the first sloka itself, establishes that this is a pure scripture which kicks out all the artha, karma, dharma, moksha and establishes pure religious principles. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatir uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. All of us are bhaktas. We all want to perform bhakti under the lotus feet of Krishna. And how is bhakti established in our heart as an irrevocable fact? The Bhagavatam itself very, very nicely explains. By the regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam classes, as explained in this sloka, by giving oral reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti is established in our heart as an irrevocable fact. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, why is Srimad Bhagavatam so powerful? What makes it so powerful? Because it is not different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came in the guise of a devotee, he has given us five principles. He says that Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajeshtanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavana Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadhu Varge Nava Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. That these are the five important aspects that he has taught us, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna of Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aradha Bhagavan Vrajeshtana Tad Dhamma Vrindavana, the supreme abode that we all need to worship is the holy land of Vrindavan. Ramya Kachit Upasana, the supreme devotees of the Lord are the gopis of Vrindavan. And all this is confirmed, the Pramanam Amalam, Prema Pumarto Mahan, and the thing that we need to achieve is the unalloyed devotion to Krishna. And all this is established through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pramanam Amalam, Prema Pumarto Mahan. That this is the Praman, is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than the Lord. And the way we can learn how to really hear from Srimad Bhagavatam was personally shown by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is, we all know this wonderful pastime in Jagannath Puri. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at Jagannath Puri, even Gadadhar Pandit was also staying at Jagannath Puri. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not different than Lord Krishna, and Gadadhar Pandit, who is not different than Srimati Radharani, when they are in the spiritual world, they exchange wonderful conjugal pastimes with each other. Right? But when the same Lord Krishna incarnates in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee, and the same Srimati Radharani incarnates as Sri Gadadhar Pandit, what do they do when they are together? How do they find the pleasure of associating with each other? That is by regular narration or relishing the narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam. We know the story that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every day go to the house of Gadadhar Pandit near Totha Gopinath temple, and he would sit. Gadadhar Pandit would narrate the Srimad Bhagavatam And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask him to repeat the pastimes of Dhruv Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj again and again and again. And he would never fall, he would not be bored of hearing it. He would say, please repeat it again and again and again. That much nectar he was finding from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the real way of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. By trying to develop the taste of hearing the Lord's pastimes. Because the Lord's pastimes are the only purifying agent. When we hear the Lord's pastimes, that's how we get purified. And how do we get purified? When we hear the pastimes as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, there can be different ways of how we can hear the Lord's pastimes. There are different types of listeners. We can listen. That we find that the same Bhagavat is spoken all over the place. There are different Bhagavat Saptas. You go in the month of Julan Yatra or go in the month of Kartik, and you'll find many speakers speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam all over Vrindavan. But there's a difference. Not the same result is achieved when you hear from the speakers. And similarly, not the same desire result is achieved by all the listeners. Well, all listeners are of different categories. And it will be wonderful to hear what are different types of listeners who hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. There can be different types of listeners and accordingly the results are achieved. So as explained, that there are four types of superior listeners of Srimad Bhagavatam. Something that we should aspire for, to be like one of those listeners. The four types of listeners are listeners who are like the Chataka bird, who are like the swan, who are like the parrot, and who are like the fish. We'll try to explain each of them. What it means to be a listener like the Chataka bird. We all know this quality of the Chataka bird. That the Chataka bird is always waiting for that particular moment where it will be nectar dropping from the rain cloud. It does not take water from any other source, but it waits for the special time when it drops nectar from the rain cloud. Similarly, one who does not hear from any scripture or book other than those related to Krishna, the listeners like a Chataka bird. That they don't want to hear anything. Because, there can be so many Satyanarayan pujas and there's so many other scriptures which talk about so many different things. But a person who is focused at hearing only Krishna Katha, is like that Chataka bird who doesn't aspire for anything else but the real pure nectar. The second type of listener is the listener like the swan. It's just as a swan can extract milk from a mixture of milk and water, one who can extract the essential topics of Lord Krishna while listening to various topics is called a swan listener. This is also a wonderful type of listener. That who can hear everything, but who can remove the essence from there. Who can hear even something very mundane, but extract something very, very nectarine from that. This is like the swan listener who can listen but extract the essential things from that. The third type of listener is the parrot type of listener. This is the parrot can recite to his master and others whatever it has been taught. One who can nicely repeat the topics he has heard from the scriptures to his guru and other listeners is called a parrot listener. Who just listens very nicely, and then who is expert in repeating that message. That is what we have been told. You simply repeat. In the olden times, we know of situations where devotees of Srila Prabhupada would sit on the Vyasa seat, and they would just keep a earphone or something and cover it with a shawl, and simply they would hear and they would speak whatever they are hearing from Srila Prabhupada verbatim as it is. There is no question of any speculation, no question of any concoction. Simply as it is narrating what they heard from the spiritual master. So this is parrot type of listening. You simply hear it and repeat it. That's perfect.
If you don't have realizations, you don't have to worry. That's how it is said that even a devotee who comes for the first time in the temple can be a preacher. Prabhupada said the Saraswati, who was a small girl, she is a wonderful preacher because she knew only one thing, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and wherever she would go, she would meet those people and she would pull their dhotis or sari and say, did you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's perfect. That's parrot listener. Just hear it and repeat it. This is the third type of listener. And the fourth type of listener is the fish type of listener. The fish, when it sees some food, for those who have observed fishes properly, I observed in the evening, when, because I have set the example, and let me observe, you know, so that I can speak with conviction. So the fish, when he sees the food, the eyes does not blink. Simply looks at the food and just stares at it. And then grabs the food. Similarly, a listener who doesn't sleep, but simply stares at the speaker with attention, with firm attention, giving complete all this time, just absorbing whatever the speaker is speaking. No matter how useless a speaker is, like me today, or how good it is, how good a listener is, a speaker is, but just listening with rapt attention, with eyes wide open, those are the listeners in the fish category, the fish type of listeners. So the first is the Chataka bird, who absorbs the nectar. The second is the swan listener, who just takes the essence from whatever it listens. The third is the parrot, who repeats wonderfully whatever he has heard. And the fourth is the fish listener, just with rapt attention. These are the four type of listeners. Any of the four is fine. All the four is also fine, simultaneously. The four type of listeners that we should not be, is also mentioned. We should not be like the wolf listener, the Burunda bird listener, the bull listener, and the camel listener. We'll explain. What is a wolf listener? Is that we all know, like, you know, those who are dressing the deities, you know, we play this particular CD of Prabhupada's short stories nowadays. It's been played for the last 2 months. And one of the most wonderful story which makes us laugh every time we hear it is Prabhupada quoting the story of the jackal becoming the king. For those who are not dressing, we'll repeat it. He said that once a jackal entered a particular village and he fell into the dye of one of the dye makers, and jackal became completely blue. And then he entered the forest. He was completely blue. And everybody saw, oh, what is this animal? They asked, who are you? Prabhupada says, sir, who are you? And he said, I am sent by God. So they started worshipping him. And he became the king of the jungle. All the tigers and lions were also worshipping and respecting because he was looking different. But at one point of time, the different jackals in the jungle started shouting because of some reason. Now, there's a typical trait of these jackals or wolves that when the comrades start shouting, they also can't stop shouting. They also have to shout. The Prabhupada says, wah, wah! They also started shouting. So similarly, we should not be like the wolf or the jackal listener. That we should not make too much sound while we are hearing. Not that we should be speaking while the listener is speaking, that I think this is the way, or I think this is not the right way, this is the way. This is something that we should not be. We should not be like the, it is said that just like the cry of the wolf frightens the deer. So there are many deer listeners who are very attracted to the melodious flute of the flute player. Right? How do we catch a deer? You play the flute and the deer gets attracted to the sound. Similarly, there are many people in the Bhagavad in the Katha who are attracted to the wonderful pastime of the Lord. But there are many people, listeners, who are like the wolves, who make a lot of sound and they distract the deer from getting attracted to the wonderful nectarine pastimes of the Lord. We should not be like this, one of the listeners. The second type of inferior listeners are the Burunda birds. They live in the Himalayas. This is very, very important. I think many of us tend to fall in this category. At least I definitely fall because I'm sitting here. He said the Burunda bird who lives in Himalayas tells others whatever instructions it has heard without practicing it himself. One who teaches others but does not follow those instructions is called a Burunda listener. That you hear that you should control your senses. Prabhu, this is Maya, you are not the body, you are spirit, soul. You heard all this wonderful narration, but you don't practice it yourself. You are a hypocrite. There is one thing that you are not able to practice because of some innate unearthers. We are all struggling. Definitely, as struggling devotees, we might not be able to practice everything that we preach. But there is one thing not being able to practice and one thing not desiring to practice. We simply want to speak just to be called a wonderful speaker. Only Krishna within our heart knows who we really are. It is said that a person's Krishna consciousness is not really revealed when he is with many devotees. And we might really be very Krishna conscious, and in our actions, in our talking, in our walking, in our speaking, we might really act very Krishna conscious way. But the real test of a Krishna consciousness is what we think, what we do, what we speak when we are alone. Because it's so easy to put a facade of something that we are not. We can speak, but it is important to practice. Achar and then prachar. We should practice what we are speaking. We should not be like this, but because the real potency will not come. We can simply speak, it will be like empty bullets, making big sound, but no substance within. So we should be not like the listeners, or like the Burunda birds, as explained here, that those who really speak very, very high philosophy, but they don't really practice anything that they are speaking. The third type of inferior listener is the bull. He says that just as the bull does not distinguish between eating sweet grapes or pungent oil cakes, a blind person who listens to everything but has no intelligence to discriminate between good and bad is called a bull listener. There are many people. They said everything about God is good. They will go to every place. They will not discriminate. They simply take on everything. Wherever they go, they will keep on hearing it. They will appreciate everything. They'll go to some philanthropic club and they hear some philanthropic philosophy. This is also very good. And they'll come to Bhagavad Katha. I know a person very close to my life, in my own family. They appreciate everything. When they hear Bhagavad Katha, they say, oh, this is so nice. When they go to some other, Katha of some other saint, they absorb everything. And that is not proper. We should be discriminatory. Not like the bull, who doesn't discriminate whether it is grapes or oil cakes. It is the same thing to him. He just eats it. A bull is quite a foolish animal, right? You can make it from his face. Quite foolish. So there is no discrimination. And the last type of inferior listener is the camel listener. This is a camel rejects the sweet mango leaves and chews instead the bitter neem leaves. One who rejects the sweet narration about the Lord and hears instead mundane topics is called a camel listener. The Lord's topics is as sweet as a mango, or here it mentions mango leaves. Like I was giving example yesterday, we were discussing that I was observing some devotees. When we were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare in the morning. I'm not talking about brahmacharis. We're talking about grihasthas chanting at home. We're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home. And suddenly the newspaper drops from our door. The newspaper wala drops the newspaper. And we're chanting and we see the newspaper and we pick up the paper and put it flat on our table. And while we're chanting, we just see the headlines. And then chanting is still going on. In the beginning, before the newspaper came, we had 100% attention to the chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the newspaper came, and we simply picked up and put it on a table, and we read the newspaper, the headlines, so-and-so dead, so-and-so strike, and then we read it. And then slowly, slowly, the attention becomes more. And then we pick up the newspaper with the hands. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And I literally saw the beadbag coming out and getting aside and then reading the newspaper. This is very, very dangerous. That we are trying, we are getting the nectar of the holy name here. We are trying to satisfy our system with some mundane, chewing the chewed news. This news has already been chewed. It is just coming in a different form. It is chewed and chewed again. You read the newspaper in 1920s, or you read the newspaper in 2004. The same news will come again and again. The different flavors. Similarly, we also get so attracted, especially when we travel in the trains. Devotees are not used to, you know, talking mundane things. We are not used to hearing. But when we start, I experience this. When we go in the trains and there's some group of people discussing something about cricket. Oh my God, how much attention we pay to this. We completely absorb everything. Not as much even as the people who are discussing it. Or we hear some songs. Here we are given the highest nectar. But we are getting attracted like the foolish camel to the bitter neem leaves, which is bitter right in the beginning and it will cause bitterness in the end also. We should be not, as the Bhagavatam explains, that you know, we should not be happy to be in the pilgrimage of the crows, right? That is one. Tadvag visargo jarata viplavo yasmin prati slokam abhidhivadyapi. And the next sloka. We should be like the swans, the Paramhansas. This scripture is called the Paramhansa Samhita. This scripture is the scripture which gives pleasure to the Paramhansas. Now you will say, well, we are not Paramhansas, what to do? But it is not only for Paramhansas, but those who are aspiring to be Paramhansas can also read the scripture. I was discussing with my brother just in the morning today, and he was saying that there's a particular book which is called the postgraduate study of, say, medicine, or the postgraduate study of anything, of a particular, say, surgery. So it is meant only for those students who are already graduates. Right? But we will also find undergraduates referring that book. Why? Because there are some students who want to really know more about the subject matter, and that's how they will refer the postgraduate book about a particular topic. Similarly, because we are seekers of, we want to really understand the highest truths about the service to Radha and Krishna, even though we are not Paramhansas, but we should approach this scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and understand how to be Paramhansas. And again and again and again, you pick up any canto of any chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again, Shukdev Goswami tells us that regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam can bring the end to all our anarthas and establish Krishna consciousness in our hearts. It is also explained that in the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam, the Mahatmyam of Srimad Bhagavatam, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture which gives complete satisfaction to even great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, the gopis of Vrindavan. It is explained by Uddhav that there's a story which he heard from his guru Brihaspati, that how once upon a time Lord Brahma, he said that I'm so much engaged in this job of creation that I might forget your lotus feet. Lord Brahma is praying to Lord Krishna in this way. How do I really remember your lotus feet constantly? What did Lord Krishna tell Lord Brahma? As told by Uddhav, he says, the way he has heard it from Brihaspati, he says that Krishna told that please recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, you will never ever forget my lotus feet. Lord Vishnu said to Lord Krishna that I might get so busy maintaining the material world. How do I maintain really Goddess Lakshmi, who has no other desires except for pure devotion? How do I maintain her? I might be able to maintain everything, but how do I maintain Lakshmi ji, my consort? And said, the way you can maintain her is by regularly reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is again and again established that how the Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture which gives complete satisfaction to the soul. So, as Rupa Goswami has also mentioned, as the five panchangas of devotional service, one of the angas is regular attendance of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Sukhdev Goswami is explaining that whoever attentively, this narration of Rishabhdev's pastimes is a reservoir of all auspicious things. So I thought it was very, very auspicious to really recapitulate all the wonderful teachings of Rishabhdev and how much we use these teachings in our day-to-day preaching. We often quote, aham mameti, that this desire of I and mine. We always quote about that hard knot of material attachment. Where does all these teachings come from? From Rishabhdev. As in the previous chapter, the first sloka itself, Rishabhdev doesn't really believe in giving doses in a small, in the beginning with some less dose and then going higher and higher with some powerful doses. Right from the first verse itself is giving powerful doses to his sons. The first verse says, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Naloke. Lord Rishabhdev says, my dear boys, if all the living entities who are accepted but material bodies in the world, one who has been awarded this human form of life should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even to dogs and hogs that eat stool. As sadhakas, we need some powerful punches to really make our understanding very, very clear and to get very clear in our pursuit of Krishna consciousness. And this locus acts as powerful punches. When we hear that this sense gratification is available to the dogs and hogs that eat stool, what does he say? One should engage in penances and austerities to attain divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified and one attains this position. He attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. And this is a very powerful sloka. How do we achieve a pure devotional service? Mat sevam dwar ahur mimukte stamo dwaram yoshi sangi sangam. That one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associates with the people fond of woman and sex, the path to hell is wide open. This is another powerful punch. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not even see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and fully engaged in devotional service. And so many beautiful slokas. Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he suddenly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activities. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is a cause of misery. So when we hear, this was a sample of few of the teachings of Rishabhdev, which we covered in the previous chapter. But when you hear such powerful teachings, and many such teachings has been given by Lord Kapiladev, Lord Krishna, to Uddhava and others, from Srimad Bhagavatam and from Bhagavad Gita, It really helps us to focus on our spiritual life. That's why Prabhupada started this wonderful system of everyday morning Bhagavatam class. So wonderful that devotees should spend a good portion of their morning day in program in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what I thought would be what is understanding of this particular verse. I would like to end here. If there's any questions or comments or suggestions or some corrections from my seniors, I would welcome them. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for such a nice, enthusiastic class. I was just reading yesterday in Bhagavad Gita about the difference between a pure devotee and a pure unalloyed devotee, and that Janani Vasprabhu was speaking about that, and saying how Krishna is pleased by our devotional service, even though we may have some tinge of personal motivation, but he's even more pleased by completely selfless service. So I was wanting to know, what is the practice or what is the process of coming from the platform of having some personal motivation in our devotional service to coming to the platform of only desiring Krishna's pleasure?
By continuing that same service again and again. Like, and in the beginning, every service will have its own drawbacks. For example, a child learning to walk. We are all like children learning to perform devotional service. When a child learns to walk, in the beginning, one step and he falls. One step and he falls. We request encouragement. Come on, don't worry. The walking technique is very much in you. Just keep on practicing. So the child gets up and then again walks and maybe 2-3 steps and then again falls. Then again encouragement is required. And then again the child walks more and more. And one point of time, the child learns to walk completely without any help. So all it means is we have to continue performing our devotional service, even though there are some drawbacks in the beginning. That's why I said, akama sarva kamova, moksha kama udarate. Whether we have no desires, or we are full of desires, or we desire liberation. Tivrena bhakti yogena. By performing bhakti yoga, all our desires in due course will be taken care of. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha. That, the cleansing process is going on. Anartha nivritti is going on. And we perform bhajan kriya, anarthas, which is basically the separate desires that we are talking about. The desire for name, fame, adherence, distinction. Of course, they should not act like weeds. We should not, support them and make them grow. We know that they should be removed. But at the same time, while removing, we require encouragement. And that's what the Vaishnava Sangam gives us. Encouragement in continuing our devotional service. Prabhupada said, no matter what, don't leave ISKCON. No matter what happens, don't leave ISKCON. That means what he wanted us to do is continue what we are doing. No matter how we are doing it, just continue doing it. With proper guidance, in due course, ultimately, we'll achieve. It is said in the Bhagavatam itself that one fine day, we'll become a pure devotee. Right? So the secret of this is that we cannot just get despondent and feel that, well, I have so many desires, how can I continue? The only way is to continue, performing the same service, and then in due course, the service itself will purify us, and we'll be able to perform pure service. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.